Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversations are pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Did you bring your thinking caps? Because it's time to put them on. Because the conversation starts now. I think we're married. Hello, Brains. And welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney. This is the spot right here. I'm going to point it out to you. This is the place where the conversations are pointed and the guests are sharp and the responses are never dull. Today, we have Benetta Wyman all the way from Australia. And you know what she does? She hypnotizes your teenagers and their mamas. And I love it because, you know, anything to get the edge off and you're not using drugs or alcohol or anger or self-limiting beliefs or negative language or using physical violence, I'm with it. And if hypnotherapy does it, great. Because there's a lot of trauma out there. It's being caused, it's being relived, it's never been resolved. And so Benetta is, you know, dedicating her life to turning that around. And she said it's all because of her son. So we want to hear more about her story and how, what she's doing and how she's showing up in the world here on the Edge. Let's welcome her, Benetta Wyman. Hi.
Thank you for having me this morning. It's really a privilege to be on your podcast and to talk about something that's really sort of like, you know, deep in my heart. So thank you for that.
Absolutely. So tell us what's so deep in your heart, precious.
So I'm finding that there's so much going on in the world that is bringing trauma to the surface. So what's happening is it's all been triggered from far away, from a long time ago, and it's all coming so much to the surface and no one knows what to do with it or how to deal with it. So this happened to my son. He had an illness that was out of the blue, and he was such a sociable, like likable guy who would just be, you know, there for anyone. And very sensitive though, always very sensitive. And when he had this reoccurring illness, it just sort of sent him spiraling downwards into this depression. He didn't have any confidence anymore. He just lost everything in his life that was special to him, other than myself, of course. But I didn't know how to deal with it. And even though I'd been a nurse for so many years and dealt with things coming at me from, you know, all directions, this came so out of the blue that I was unprepared.
Well, and because you know what, it's a different story when it's somebody else's story.
Yeah,
but when absolutely. It comes, you know, as they say, when the chickens come home to roost, you know, it's unbelievable. It's like when people get diagnosed with disease. I had a girlfriend to tell me how they called her and told her that she had cancer, and she had worked for the Cancer Society and worked with women that had had breast cancer. And she just said it was so cold and it was so insensitive, just like you were just, you know, hey, you know, just called to let you know that your tests were positive and you have cancer. So, and then being a parent, getting that, and how do you explain this to your child and deal with them? That takes a lot. Were you a single parent or were you married? Did you have support?
No, I'm married, but my husband really didn't know how to deal with this at all because he'd always left it to me. You know, he's always sort of like, you're the nurse in the family, so therefore you can deal with anything that's, I suppose, physical. Wow. So he sort of left that to me. But then it was really the mental illness that came along that was so unexpected, as I say, because this boy had always been extremely sociable. And then even his friends coming to the house would set him off and he would have this anxiety attack, go into his room, just couldn't talk to anybody. And it was so unlike him. And so it took a lot of work to get him to where he is today. And still he has times where that, you know, I suppose comes forward, but he can deal with it in a different way these days.
Okay, but so the root, so just like I understand and my brains can follow, the root cause of his illness, has that ever been resolved? I know that the mental illness is probably a contributing factor, but the root cause of his illness, he's never been cured from that?
No, because it was pancreatitis, and they kept saying, well, it's this, it's this. They were finding different things, and it just wasn't ever, I suppose, resolved in his mind why it came. And then he got type 1 diabetes because of it, so therefore he lives with that every day. You know, the feeling of having to give his insulin, having to, I suppose, support himself in so many ways. And, yeah, it just, the mental side of it was never really looked at by the teams. So the team would come in.
I'm sorry, did he become aggressive and assertive, rebellious? You say, you know, depression, anxiety shows up different for everyone.
Yeah, no, he's never really been that sort of like person who comes with anger. It's always been, I suppose, it stopped him from doing the things that he wanted to do and still does to some degree. You know, like having diabetes is always there, always like this black cloud that sits between him and the world.
Everybody, tell him everybody lives with something. And, you know, just go ahead and take advantage, because you know what they did here in the United States? So many people were dependent on insulin. They tripled and quadrupled the price. So I'm not encouraging that, but you know what? He can be an advocate. He can be a spokesperson. He can, you know, I don't know if it's a weight. I know with me, I'm pre-diabetic, but it's a weight issue. There's so many positive things that he can do. So as his mother, you know, and as a nurse, again, you figured and you thought that you had all the answers to the question. When you realized that you didn't, you sought out alternative modalities. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, because I always felt that there was something holding him back that was subconscious. So with hypnotherapy, we go into the subconscious mind and find out what those blocks are and why we're feeling the way we feel, because it's really a protection. So particularly a traumatized brain will revert back to anything that would protect it. So we don't understand that, you know, that the kids don't understand why they're reaching for alcohol, why they're reaching for drugs, why they're sort of like feeling completely lost. But it's explaining those processes to them so that they understand in a very simple way, right? And why anxiety is there, because it's a protection.
Absolutely. Like fear. You know, you have to have something that ignites and separates you, you know, separates the wheat from the straw. You have to know boundaries.
Yep.
Physical, mental, emotional, financial, psychological, relationship-wise, there's boundaries. But if you don't feel that you fit in, per se, you don't know what those lines look like because you have nothing to measure it against. I get that. So yeah, you are focusing on working with parents, particularly mothers that have children that have these types of situations in anxiety or depression. Now, I want to ask you two questions. One, I want to hear about the work that you do with the young adult and how young do you work with? And then the next question was, tell me a little bit what you do to the moms. You put the moms in a trance just so they...
Yeah, because the mums are stressed out.
Oh, right? I know.
So the mums are often more stressed out than even the children, because they're sort of like grasping, trying to find what to do about this, you know. So they grasp at medication, but medication can only go so far to help depression and anxiety, right? It's learning techniques.
And it goes, right, and I don't mean to cut you off, but it turns into getting a little edge off. Now it's recreational. Now you're addicted. And it's
absolutely
not a good look, you know, sitting there all half asleep. Your kids don't know what's going on. You've taken God knows what and a combination of what, you know, and then chasing it with your favorite red wine bottle or two. It's just a snowball effect, but I can see how that happens. And you know what else? I'm speaking to fathers. When you don't step up to the plate, you see that, you see what your woman's going through? Girl, y'all.
Absolutely.
I'm telling you women, you better learn to delegate and tell them that they're going to cook and clean and you go get you some self-care help, because if you don't recharge your battery, you're no good to anybody.
That's absolutely right. And that's one of the things that I say to them, like, how do you relax? How do you find, you know, you fill up your cup? Because it's no good you doing that for your child or helping your child if you're not at full, I suppose, energy yourself, right? So how do you energize yourself? How do you relax? How do you do the things that you need to do before you help your child? You know, it's just like being on a plane, isn't it? They say, you know, when the mask drops, then you have to put yours on first,
right?
Before you put the one on for the child, because the child learns by what happens to the adult too, as well as the energy around things.
Exactly.
So it's really getting the two to communicate and cooperate and learn how each other feels and to reignite, I suppose, that compassion that you have, because you lose that, right? The more you're trying to help a child who doesn't do anything, you lose your compassion for them.
Because you're high and you're pissed off and nobody's doing anything but you. Yep. So it just really goes crazy. So you got that mother.
She's
listening to this part. Yeah, she is listening to us right now. Right there. That's you. Okay? Yeah. That's you, darling. You're hearing what we're saying to you. We're not preaching to the choir. We are trying to free you from some anxiety.
Absolutely.
Benita, where does she begin? Where does she start? Tell her right now, what does she do?
She looks for some help for herself.
This podcast.
She looks for some help for herself.
Right.
Because if you're in the middle of this whole, shit show, you want to call it, right?
Right.
If you're in the middle of it, you don't know where to start. So I'm giving people the, I suppose, means to see the truth and to actually see, okay, we can start somewhere. Because the thing is, we lose hope. It's like, what the heck do we do next? Because we've tried this, nothing's worked. It's like, let's calm down and find some small steps to start a new direction, because it's starting that new thing. If we don't stop and calm down first and think clearly, then it's all going to go to pot again, isn't it? Because the first thing that comes up, then we start losing it and going backwards. And as soon as we lose it, it's gone.
Right, because you lose integrity. And if you're always, if you're like a tea kettle, if you're always hot and spouting off, people don't take you seriously. They become annoyed with you. They tone you out when you're always cursing. You know, my mother caught me cursing, me and my friends, and I'm 60. And she called me in the room and she says, you know, who was out there? And I said, that was me and my friends. She said, well, there were no ladies. Did you hear their mouths? She said, it was so disrespectful. She said, and I wonder if they talk to their kids like that. I would never talk to my kids. Don't cuss in front of me, and I don't try to cuss them. But if you're always belligerent to your spouse, calling them a bunch of ugly words, the worst 13 on the planet, doing that to your children, you know, you're doing damage. Verbal abuse can be worse than physical abuse. You will keep hearing that. That will be the same conversation that's resonating in your head, and it's not worth it. So, mothers, I say you start with a brain dump. And what is that? You sit there with a piece of paper and a pencil and you write everything that comes to your mind. Just dump all that on pencil and paper. And then you know what I do? I take it out of the barbecue grill, baby, and I set it on fire, burn it. I burn it because you know what? I get rid of that offering because I want to open up new space. I want to tap into my subconscious mind. I want to know what's going on with that other 85% of that person I don't even know. I want to know what else is possible. I want to know, how can it get any better than this? Ask the curious questions. Girl, don't get me to preaching. I'll be up there working with you. But am I right?
You're absolutely on the right track there. You know, and actually what I've found from a couple of my clients so far is that when I do this, they say, you're looking for possibilities.
Yes,
you're
ma'am.
Working some magic and looking for the possibilities to how to move on, how to move forward rather than go back to the same old cycle that we've gotten into. Because it's a spiral. It takes us down and it takes the child down. And we just don't know what to do to start to move upwards, right? So we start to think about what's the possibilities here? How can we change our attitude and our ways and the way we speak to help that child to learn a different way?
Right. And you know what? Expose them to real conversations, to real life experiences. Let them know, you know, unfortunately, when I was your age, you know, something happened to me. I was involved in an accident. I smoked pot. Promiscuous sex. Let them know that you're relatable, that you're not just trying to dictate to them, because they are little people. And believe me, they know more than you think that they know about you, because they're watching and mimicking everything you do. It's epigenetics. It's generational trauma that goes from one generation to the next. And we have to be aware of that. Now, when you're working with teenagers, you know, they're some strange fruit. Because millennials now,
the world's different. The world has changed. It's different.
You know, you can give your therapy sessions with them online before they have to come in and sit there with you. Do you give them exercises? Do you give them, you know, journaling? Do you give them a little Reiki or maybe emotional freedom technique? Do you do tapping, any of that?
I don't do tapping, but I actually teach them how to breathe. So breathing exercises are really good because it helps them to calm the system. And while they're calming the system, they can think more clearly. So it's like, okay, we'll do that first, but journaling for sure. Right. What's really upsetting you? Because we drill right down to what is really the problem here. What is really upsetting you? Where is that anger? What is it about? And then we start working with that. It's like, okay, let's have a look at it and really bring it forward, because what they're doing at the moment is pushing stuff down. So pushing it down and have done for generations. It's like, but let's talk about the real stuff.
But Banana, you know, when they have that breakthrough, what does that do for you? Because, you know, and I keep it 100 with my brains. Everybody's got to get off on some kind of way. You know, does it bring you joy? Does it? Okay, now.
But
does it bring you joy? Does it bring you relief? Does it give you a sense of power? Again, because that's powerful to be able to allow someone to work with you and to get a major breakthrough in their life. Do they need ongoing sessions with you? Do you provide them with tools that they're able to say, you know what, I learned this from Miss Benetta and she is just really, you know, resonating in my heart. Do you ingrain those seeds in these children?
Yeah, because, you know, if their parent has their own problems, it's like, well, let's say that they have their own problems. Does it necessarily have to run through you and your generation and the next generation?
Right.
Because if I can help them to see that and to say, I don't want it to run through the next generation, because as you said, it's epigenetic, it comes through. It's like, let's help them deal with that so it doesn't continue. So for me, this is the next generation and generations to come. So this isn't just all about now.
What are you saying, unfortunately, are the trends with young adults? Is it isolation because of this COVID thing? Is it hostility and anger against their parents? They're just being rebellious. Do you see it's a large influence of drugs? What are you seeing? Or kind of, I know every child is different, but really, what's going on with the millennials right now?
I think, you know, it's a whole lot of stuff, but I think the COVID thing has come along to push people to thinking, what's the point? What's the point of getting everything right when we have no stability? So it's that feeling of, you know, we don't know what's next. What is coming next? Because we've had the lockdowns, we've had the you need to get vaccinated, you need to do this. And we're doing it what everyone's told us to do, and still it's out there. So it's sometimes that feeling of, what's the point?
Or they go and they have an amazing session with you and walk into the same dysfunction when they walk through the door.
Yeah.
How do they navigate with that? How do they are they able to have that reservoir of self-love when the dam is blocked off? You know, it's not fair. You don't know. And then these kids are suicidal, but also now they're dealing with gender identity. You know, they don't want to be male or female. They're non-binary. Parents don't understand that.
Yeah.
No, they go through the transgender stage. They're going through the, you know, homosexuality. Things are different now. And parents, you know, I'm going to tell you something. Newsflash, okay? You cannot rewrite your child's life vicariously by the history of yours. It's a new day. And you are missing out on a child that is a wonderful human being, an individual contributor to society, when you shun them, push them away, or force them to be something that they are not.
Yeah, and you can't sometimes get that through to the parent, right? I've had parents who come and they say, I don't want my child to be pushed into, I suppose, this, as you say, the gender identity thing. You have to get them to, I suppose, not do that. And I say, right. I can't do that.
Right.
That's not what I'm here for, right?
Well, let
I'm
them
here
explore.
To get them
let
to
them
have
explore.
Self-love. Self-love.
Right. Teach them about sexuality. That, you know, sexuality is between your legs, but your gender is between your ears.
Yeah.
And open your own ears, parents, to listen to these kids. They're committing suicide. Hello. Do you love them? You know,
it's supposed to be unconditional love from a parent, right? But when you're trying to tell your kids, I mean, I have young adults at the moment who have come out of a religion that their parents have said, I can't love you if you don't.
Wow.
Come back to the religion, right? That is just so heartbreaking for me. You know, it's like, this is your choice. Okay, you may not have the same beliefs as I do, but still love them.
Right, right.
You know,
and
still give
them
your love.
The thing is I got two great kids, but I don't agree with everything they do. But you know what I do? I try to step back and listen to them after I done run my mouth and told them what I thought. But I really try to step back and say, hey, let me look at this through another set of eyes. I'm not going to always be here. I can't force them to do anything, but I can be a partner in their life. I can be a solace. I can be a sounding board. I could be someone that they trust. If they, you know, feel that if they trust me, they'll tell me.
Yep. And you might not always like what they say, but it's okay if they have come to you and you say, okay, well, this is the way I look at it. I see it from this side of, you know, I suppose living on this earth for so many years. But ultimately, it's their decision. It's their decision. And if they want to go that way and take the consequences, then that's up to them. And sometimes that's the only way we learn, right? Is by getting the consequences of what
Absolutely.
We do.
Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes things, that's like my daughter. I didn't know what in the world, how she was ever going to earn an income. Because she was just, you know, whatever. It didn't bother her. And then one day she came home and she says, I'm going to go to beauty school. And I said, well, you know what? I'm not going to pay for it. I said, because if I pay for it, you get into it and then you get bored. She has some buy-in. She got the loan. She graduated the top of her class. And right now, she is a costume designer and makeup artist for the theater here in San Diego, California. But I let go and let God. I just stepped back a minute and said, you know what? Let her navigate it. She didn't take the path I chose her to take. She took her own path, and she is soaring. And I ended up supporting her in that. I made her pay for her own school because there's got to be some consequences, and you got to have some buy-in, some skin in the game. You don't have no skin in the game, then they're not learning a life lesson. You're enabling them.
Yeah. And I think it takes a lot when someone's had a traumatic experience or an illness to do that. But I think that's the only way, you know, and I made some big errors, I think, you know, in sort of like not enabling him to do those things, to take in the power away, because I wanted to protect him.
Right.
But it doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. So, you know, sometimes they have to hurt. And when I say to kids who come here, you know, you may be going back to, I suppose, a household that isn't perfect, but it's what you make of it. How can you make the best of what's happening there? You know,
Absolutely. It's
until, of course, you can leave. When you get to a certain age, you can make your own decisions. You can make your own life. But until then, what do you need? You probably need education. You need to have some sort of idea in your head of what you can do, because it's up to personality as well. Like, what suits your personality? What can you do? So it's really, as I say, making the magic and going, what can you do? There's so many things that you may not have even thought of that you can do right now and for your future. So let's at least work with that. If you're not got the support at home, I'm here to try and support you as much as I can as a therapist. But I can't be your parent. I can be your therapist, and you can trust me, and I will support you as much as I can. But right, that's as far as I can go, right? Right.
And she can't be your best friend, because she's a woman of a particular age, and she's not going to co-sign on some craziness, okay? Yeah. She's going to call you out on it and make you be responsible. But that's the only way that you learn. And then once they do it, it's like when your boss calls you into the office, okay? And you know that you've done something wrong. And instead of puffing your chests all out and all this jaw jacking and all that kind of stuff, just concede. You know what? Yeah. You're right. Let me dial back and let me look at it from a different perspective. I'm growing. I'm evolving. You know, we don't get these gray hairs for nothing. We do it because we love you. Thank you so much, Benita Wyman, for being on The Edge with me. You are an absolute brilliant soul. I thank you for working with this segment of the population and working with their parents. It's a lot, and you're able to pour into them from self-experience. I send you and your son and your husband abundance of love and light, that everything shine and radiate on you in a positive way.
Thank you so much.
So tell my brains how to get in contact with you, your email, if you have any current offerings, so that they can work with you. And brains, don't worry, because she's in Australia. She's a point and a click away. Look, I'm in San Diego and she's in Australia.
And we've made it, right?
That's right. So how do they get in contact?
So you can reach me on roadtosuccesshypnotherapy.com.au. That's my website. Or you can email me on thesame@gmail.com. And of course, you know, like, I'm on Facebook. So just look me up on Facebook, Benita Wyman, and I can get back to you and give you some tips and help. Yeah, we can either work together, or I've got some online courses. There's so much that you can do from, you know, far away.
Right. And make a game out of it. See, what you have to do with young people, you have to psychologically get into their brain.
Yeah.
Some sort of incentive. Okay, we'll go and play paintball, or we'll do this. I need you to take a little test for me. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. You know, you have to not just be, you treat them like an adult, but you don't always have to be on the same level with them. You need to be one tick or two ticks higher.
Yeah. And also, like, have fun. You know, like,
absolutely,
one of the things that we miss or have missed with COVID is having fun and excitement and going out and exploring. So let's do that. You know, we can go have a coffee together. I can have a coffee with you, and you can be in a different country to me. You can get your coffee, I can get mine, and we can just sit and have a chat.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be so deep and heavy and, you know, feeling as though this is just like just therapy. Because therapy is in all manners of what we do, right?
Right.
Just going out and talking to your friends, or going out and kicking a ball, or going out in the sunshine for a walk is all therapy.
Right.
So therapy can be many, many ways.
Whether we're teenagers, midlife, citizens, we all need it. And we're going to get it right here on The Edge, brains. So I need you to go like, love, and subscribe. Again, like, love, and subscribe. I'm trying to build those numbers on YouTube. We've got about 800 episodes all together. I've got about 1,300. You will be as smart as me. No, seriously, 1,300 interviews. It has been amazing. And no two people are alike. Everybody has a unique story, a unique gift that they're pouring in. I want this show to be the conduit between the haves, the have-nots, the needs, and the wants here on The Edge. Thank you so much, Benita. You are the business.
Thank you so much, April. Much love to you, too.
Thank you. Bye, brains.
Bye-bye.